Good morning to all of you. You're a beautiful gathering of faces, and we're so grateful to have you here today. This is going to be a very special time together. I'm Jan Ilfers. I'm the Interim Director of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. Through Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon's ecumenical community of congregations, interreligious organizations, people of faith, and all people of goodwill, we engage together in a ministry of peace, reconciliation, justice, and the healing of God's creation. And oh, how we need that at this time. So I just ask for the Creator to be here with us as we bring peace to this space and to this world. I'd like to now especially thank the Collins Foundation for their generous underwriting of this annual lecture. And I'd also like to thank our 14 other sponsors. They're listed on the back of your program. Please take a look. We've had a wonderful outpouring of generosity from people who are very excited to have this day happen. Without these contributions, this day would not have been possible. We give you our sincerest thanks. Today we're going to explore together the history of the doctrine of discovery and examine its continued influence on relations among church, tribe, and state. We are so blessed to have scholars, tribal leaders, representatives of tribes, and spiritual guides who will lead us today on this journey. This will be a day rich in ceremony, music, and story. And now I'd like to introduce our two moderators for today's events. First of all, the Reverend Dr. Randy Woodley, Ketua Cherokee, is the Distinguished Professor of Faith and Culture and the Director of Intercultural and Indigenous Studies at George Fox Evangelical Seminary. Randy has graciously given many, many hours to help in the planning of this event. It has been my great pleasure to work with and to learn from Randy. Thank you very, very much. Our second moderator is the Reverend Dr. Pat Ross. She is a member of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon's Theological Education and Dialogue Committee and Pastor Emerita of the First Congregational Church of Christ in Portland. She has also helped plan this day from the very beginning, and I am so grateful to her for her extensive skills and wise counsel. Thank you, Pat.
We have asked Dr. Cornell Peabody to sing for us, sing here. I know Cornell as a friend, as a mentor, as someone I respect greatly. Professor Peabody is Comanche Kiowa, an enrolled member of the Comanche Nation of Oklahoma. Dr. Peabody served. Excuse me, I knew there was some reason I wasn't quite. There we go. Thanks. Dr. Peabody served as a postdoctoral fellow in the Center for Multi-Ethnic Education at the University of Oklahoma. Prior to joining Portland State University, he was an associate professor of the Department of Teaching and Leadership and Center for Indigenous Nation Studies at the University of Kansas, as well as an adjunct faculty in American Indian Studies at Haskell Indian Nations University. From 2005 to 2007, Dr. Peabody was the Dean of Academic Instruction at the Comanche Nation College in Lawton, Oklahoma.
Cornell Peabody on target and Wahada on target. I'd like to welcome you, give greetings. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, my brother Randy, for the introduction and for other relatives that are part of it. I'm really honored to be here. I'm a guest from my nations as Comanche and Kiowa. I duly respect the ancestral relations here, particularly the Middle Chinook, Tualapan, the Multnomah, and the Clackamas peoples. As I began to think about the nomenclature of our work, as somebody that's an academician, many times I have to remind our settler brothers and sisters whose ancestral lands we're on, because many times we don't see it in the documents, in the maps that are very colonial. And so as we began to think about what we can do in our academic work and our work of healing is to try to remind the place names and help with the resurgence of that work. And so that is my work in higher education. Thank you, Randy. We call it post-colonial research paradigms, because if you can envision what the world looks like right now in the future, then you can engage in that liberatory practice of research and work with the people of all colors. And so that's what brings me across the country from the Midwest all the way to Portland, Oregon, as a professor of Indigenous Nation Studies. So I'd like to share with you one song that was taught to me by my teacher, who is long gone but still present, Morris Lookout. I'm honored that Dr. Tinker is here, because he's Osage, and this is an Osage song. Ilonshka, Noji, as we began to look at the young people, the young warriors, and the warriors, here they come, make way for them. So I sing that song, a portrait, the metaphor of those of the warriors that are coming in, because they don't come in by themselves. They come in with the glory of their families. They come in with the regalia that was given and made for them by the people that love them. And they're coming in with ceremony. They're coming into the arena. So look up. These are proud people. They're part of our family. That's what the song is. It's a Lonshka song. Osage, Lonshka. So with that honor, Tink, I'll sing a Lonshka song. No G, babe.
No G, Tilly Loba, no G, Tilly Loba, oh, yeah, yeah. No G, Tilly Loba, no G, Tilly Loba, no G, Tilly Loba, oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, Loshka, Zani, no G. No she tilly la bay, no she tilly la bay, oh hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, Loshka, Zani, no she tilly la bay, oh hey, yeah, yeah. No she tilly la bay, no she tilly la bay, oh hey, yeah, yeah. No she tilly la bay, no she tilly la bay, no she tilly la bay, oh hey, yeah. Hey, Loshka. ba no ji ti li lo ba no ji ti li lo ba yo hey 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 los ga zane no ji ti li lo ba yo hey.
With that song, I think about the warriors, the veterans, like many of us that are indigenous, come from warrior societies, and that's what that song is. It's Inoshka. Inoshka Zani, no jean, ti lidobed. As you begin to look at the young warriors, they come in with purpose. They have reason to be on this earth. They're here to protect the people, who give them that honor. So I think about that as I sing that song and open up this way, particularly this way of healing. I look at this topic. It's a topic of our lives. It's a topic of every child, human being that's a part of this earth. And I make sure in all of my classes and all the faculty teach this truth to the power. And so we begin by starting where the learner is. And that's one thing about learning theory as a teacher. Start where the learner is. Because many, even today, of our students are being taught Columbus discovered America. So we have a lot of work to do. I'm really happy to be a part of this and listen to you and build fellowship to be a part of this story, a story of our warriors. My father, a former prisoner of war, has the ability to forgive. And to that day, we have these songs that are healing. So I thank you very much for honoring me. Thank you, Randy. My best wishes to every one of you as you begin this day. And all the speakers and the listeners, I say thank you. Tink, thank you very much. Aho.
We're honored to have Marcus L. Luke II with us to offer a prayer today. He's traveled all the way from way upriver and served as a general counsel, vice chairman for the Confederate Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation from 2009 to 2015. He also works at Housing Department on the Confederate Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation since 2005 to present, and KCUW Tribal Radio Station, an award-winning tribal newspaper, the Confederated Umatilla Journal, from 1999 to 2005. He's actively one of the leaders at the Longhouse and participates in numerous ceremonies, namings, funerals, memorials, first food ceremonies, and is a proud father of a 13-year-old track star named M. Aaron Luke.
Chiti chum Chukuk Ayayat, E. Kutanawasha, Chit Kwe, in me way, Winiki, we I know, E. in a swa is Lilampa. E. in a me peer, Naknu at Lunam, clock night, E. Aisha, a shop of Lakaikaya, Nami Tamna, Nami Wanakshash, Nami Wakishwit. Lauch nawa nax teacham kine, chi teacham ne tetite. On this most beautiful day, it's an honor to be here in a beautiful home, in a beautiful way. I come here and share a little bit with you all. My Indian name is Wiaino, it comes from the Columbia River. My father was Yakima. My mother is Umatilla. I grew up at Thorn Hollow upriver in Pendleton, Oregon. The place is called Nihyawepa. We come down here, both sides of my family, the Yakima and the Cayuse, Umatilla, Walla Walla. We travel here, a place called Willamette Falls. Come here and fish. So this area is part of my home as well. It's an honor to see some of the ones that have taken the time, which we call Tananawit, Chaitkwe. Good to see our brothers and sisters come here and share what they have. I know it's a beautiful feeling to come in here to a church, which is your home, and I'm a guest. But at the same time, it's part of my home as well. We ring the bell. A long time ago, it was a turtle rattle. Today, we use a bell through assimilation. Later on, it was brought through trade, along with the beads, some of the tools, etc. But my religion is called Washit. It comes from this land, believes in nature, everything around us. Everything knows who I am, from the birds, the trees, the land, the air, the water, everything that moves, everything that breathes. The life giver, which we call chush, water. We have to have it every single meal. The foods that we believe in, the wakanish, nosok, the salmon, all the roots and the berries we believe in. It's all part of us. We're the same. That's what I said. We're the same as the land. The land is us and we are it. That's what our religion's about. That's what Washit means, is to believe in yourself, believe in everything around you, what we call the unwritten laws. So we sing the songs for different ceremonies. We have a song for every occasion. One thing that I have to emphasize, not all songs are the same. A long time ago, I was thankful to have many elders in my life, and it always talk about, you only sing this song for this occasion, only for this one. It's not like soup. It's not like you mix things up. Things happen for a reason. Things always happen for a reason. Never, I wonder, never why. That's just how it is. Name Piap, our big brother, the one who's above us, he's the one who sets everything for each and every one of us. A different name you call God. We call him our big brother, the one above us. So I'll sing a song. This song here is a, I always like to think, my uncle always says, it's a feel-good song. In days like this, when I woke up this morning, it came out. So I'll sing this Washit song to go along with a beautiful day. So we'll go ahead and sing one song. I'll sing three verses.
Teach up,
one's for my body, or one's for the body, one's for the heart, and one's for our life. And we say I because we believe, or we say E. We believe in this way. This is how the feeling overwhelms you, takes over. And that's what you want, and that's what this religion can do. Like your religion, you have songs that make you feel good, making you feel you can do anything. And that's what it's supposed to do. Especially all the different types, if there's death, if there's a memorial, if there's someone sick, you want them to feel good. And that's kind of one way, a little bit, I can share with you about my religion, where I come from, called Washington.
I'm going to introduce right now the Reverend Canon Nathan LaRude, Acting Dean of Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, this wonderful place that we're here. It's so, I know, I'm getting a little signal there. So, Nathan, if you would come forward, I want to just tell you just a couple of things about Nathan. He is currently the acting dean of the cathedral, this beautiful place, and we thank you so much for sharing this space with us. He's a fifth generation Oregonian. I gave you a couple more generations. And he came to Trinity in 2009 and has served in a number of positions here and is currently the acting dean. Thank you so much for being here.
It's a peculiar role to welcome you this morning to a place that is not mine. As we have been reminded, Trinity Cathedral's only been here 100 years. This land was home to people for generations before that. So I get to welcome you in a different way. This is your home, and I thank you for welcoming us into this sacred space. One of the things that we talk about sometimes at Trinity, you know, we have this fancy word attached to our title. We're a cathedral. And one of the ways that we interpret that word is to mean that this place exists not just for the people who worship here, who call this their religious home, but for the city of Portland. But as we know, the city of Portland's only been here 150 years. Today, we might think about what it means to be a cathedral as this place belongs to this people. It belongs to you today. This is your home for today. And so I invite you, these pews are not very comfortable, but I invite you to lean back in them a little bit and make them as comfortable as you can, and to settle in and take a deep breath and think of this as your home today. And let us be a part of welcoming you home into this space for this very important conversation. And a piece of settling into home means knowing where the bathrooms are and knowing where the food is going to come from. So I get a couple logistical things. Some of you have already discovered that there are bathrooms on either side of the cathedral here in the front. There's a handicap accessible restroom on this side, and then restrooms on this side also. There are larger restrooms in the parish house, which is just through these doors over here to your left. And then the first door off of the colonnade porch area right out here will take you into the parish hall, and there are restrooms there also. So plenty of restrooms available. You don't have to wait in line. We've got a lot of restrooms available, so please do make use of them. And the food is in the same direction. So at lunchtime, when it comes time to eat, you'll want to head through these doors across the porch and to the far doors, and the eating room is Kempton Hall, which is just on the other side of the courtyard. So that's a little bit of logistical stuff. I also think some of you had difficulty finding parking this morning. As we all know, parking in this neighborhood can be a challenge. If you're in a timed space, you should know that St. Mary's Cathedral, our sister cathedral, the Roman Catholic Cathedral, just a couple blocks away at 18th and Davis, has allowed us to make use of their parking lot today. And that's a big parking lot. It's a full city block at 18th and Davis. So if you need to move your car, feel free to move it into that lot. So there's this lot across the street, St. Mary's lot at 18th and Davis, and then the cathedral south lot, just a little bit down here on the other side of Kempton Hall. We're not towing today. St. Mary's isn't towing today. So you're safe in those three lots. Please do make use of them. I think that's all I have to say, except to once again reiterate how welcome you are in this space, how much a privilege it is for Trinity to host this gathering, and to welcome so many of our friends into this sacred space. You make it much more sacred by your presence here. Thank you for being here.
And now I'd like to introduce and to welcome Mary Jane Miles, who will bring greetings. She's the secretary of the Nez Perce Tribal Executive Committee. She is also an ordained minister of the Word and Sacrament of the Presbyterian Church, United Church USA. She was elected to the Nez Perce Tribal Committee some time ago and serves as secretary. She has a very rich family. She has two adult children, and she also lost one child to cancer. She has two grandsons, and she also is the mother to her late sister's adult children, two nephews and one niece. She also has a very impressive educational background, including a Bachelor of Science degree from the Lewis and Clark State College in Lewiston, Idaho, a Master of Divinity from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California, and a Doctor of Ministry from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh. She has worked in many different tribal programs over her career, and she is currently working with the Navajo Reservation in Tuba City, Arizona, and also serving the Indian Presbyterian churches on the Nez Perce Reservation. Mary Jane, please welcome, be welcomed and come forward.
Call to me, and I will show you great and unimaginable things you have never seen. That was the scripture that called me into the ministry. But as I went into the ministry, I had a mixed feeling of where did I stand with my culture and Christianity because of the gospel of conquest. It was a struggle, and I feel it's a struggle to our people today. But I love these kind of meetings, and I feel so honored to be here to talk about those things that we need to talk about. We do some historical trauma on the Nez Perce Reservation, and I felt it was one of those things that the Lord had showed me, that we need to get well, we need to live a happy life, and we need to know that the God of all is leading us through this time. As I look at the backdrop here, I feel Jehovah Jireh does indeed provide. He provides our every need. While I think about our brothers and sisters that have welcomed us in their own tongue and their own songs and their beautiful, beautiful reverence for the chief and the elders, I feel that we have a reverence for Mother Earth that goes way beyond even our own understanding. When I was growing up, I couldn't get over the story of the salmon and how beautiful it was. And because I live in a country where the salmon will come home to spawn and die. And I'd think about it and wonder, how did the Creator put that together? Then I'd smile when I think about the bear and going into hibernation. And I thought, he has such creativity in us and in us as well, with two eyes, a nose, and a mouth, yet we don't look alike. And how his creativity goes on and on. So we can worship him in the way that we were raised up to worship him, the stories that we remember. I think of our legends and the Lord's parables that he told and how they come together some way. When I was in Los Angeles, we were talking about what tribe we were from, and everybody stood up and introduced their tribe. And one beautiful lady stood up and said, "I am from the tribe of Judah." And I was so thankful to be reminded that our Lord Jesus was a tribal person, and he understood my conflict, and he understood my dilemma in what was acceptable to glorifying God. And so my studies led that for me to pursue an education to kind of find out so I could see truth in what I was doing. Call to me, and I will show you great and unimaginable things you have never seen. And he keeps doing that to me. Even now, I feel honored to be here. I bring greetings from the Nez Perce, who are right now at the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission, talking about salmon. And I just love to be on council. I'm the older woman, only woman there. And I can't get over how the men honor the earth, honor the habitat that they live in, and they fight for it. And this is, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of the men in our tribe who make our life comfortable. Kitsiaya.
Jan mentioned earlier that this day is a part of a longer history of events under the rubric of the Collins Lecture. It's an annual event that's been going on for 40 years, sponsored primarily by Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. Today's event is sponsored by many other people, and we'll be hearing more about those people later. In this series that's gone on for 40 years, a few of the highlighted speakers that we've had, Karen Armstrong talking about the transformative power of compassion, Professor Gary Dorian speaking of God's economy, Father Richard Rohr speaking about how we need to restore sacred balance, the convergence of contemplative practices along with social action. The Reverend Dr. Wesley Araya and Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, who spoke about who is our neighbor as we imagine beyond our own borders. Archbishop Desmond Tutu was one of the speakers, E.J. Dionne, and Bill McKibben, who spoke about the earth edge, choosing our future. Very relevant and very meaningful days, and today is right in that tradition and maybe even pushing some boundaries of the tradition in a very wonderful way. Thank you for being here. Randy?
My experience has been, if you mention Naya, most people, the next thing they'll say is, oh, do you know Donita Fry? And the reason I said she has a difficult job, because I wouldn't want to do this. But we've asked Donita to tell a story of the land that includes all these great peoples around here. there is, as I've delved into this historically, there's lots of controversy surrounding just the history of the area. So there is different histories, there is redacted histories, there is a lot of concern, which I'm sure will take some time to sort out. But we took 3 months, I think, probably 2 to 3 months to finally settle. We sought elders, we sought others to say who could tell the story of the land and be inclusive. So let me tell you about her. Donita S. Fry is an enrolled member of the Shoshone-Bannock tribe of Fort Hall, Idaho. She attended Washington State University studying early childhood education and fine arts. Her work experience includes over 8 years of involvement in community-based organizations in policy advocacy and political outreach fields. Most recently, she has been coordinating outreach and equity advocacy for the Native American community in Portland. Donita has extensive experience working with the urban and reservation Native population, including working with tribes, Native organizations, and community. She has a deep knowledge of Native American history and an understanding of the diversity of local American Indian, Alaska Native communities and issues surrounding the urban Indian experience in Portland. Over the years, she has become skilled at cross-sector, cross-cultural, and personal relationship building and dedicated to form and maintain strategic alliances and strong working partnerships with community-based organizations, community action groups, and local government departments. One thing that's not in here is that Donita also coordinates the activities of the Portland Youth and Elders Council, which is, if you think about it, about the most important people that we could be working with. So would you please welcome Donita Fry.
Tangu Yechbaiku. Good morning, everybody. I actually have to provide a disclaimer that I'm overwhelmed by the beauty in the room today, that it's wonderful that all of you are shown up here. And I'm also humbled because I recognize I was sitting right in front of Grand Ronde tribal members, and I should not be the person up here speaking about the history of this land because we're on Grand Ronde ceded land. I invite any of you to come up and also add to what I have to share today. First of all, Yaibidi, I want to invite you into this space to think about the sharing that we're going to have right now, that we are on the ceded land of tribal members. And it's a colonized situation that brought us to have these actual territories, because historically, from what I've discovered working in the urban native community here in Portland for the past 12 years, is that this was a rich trading territory. Indian people came from as far as way as the Dakotas to come and collect salmon, our berries, our natural resources that were wealthy here. Many, many, many years ago, since time immemorial, I believe that people from Alaska traveled down here, that this was a rich trade territory. And because of colonization, we were put into these reservations or restricted territories. But this is the land of the Kalapuya, the Chinook, the Grand Ronde tribes, many bands of different Native Americans that lived here and flourished here since time immemorial. And it's been a controversial issue. First of all, I work as a community organizer, and I have for the past 10 years in the Portland area. And when we come together as Native Americans doing advocacy work, cultural advocacy work, or any type of advocacy work, I believe that we run across this challenge as urban Indians, that how do we come together as urban Indians on the ceded land of a specific tribe? It's an interesting conversation, and I think that it should be grounded in our values as Native American people, that we're all related no matter what. Each one of you in this room is our relative. We shouldn't think about our territories, and I don't believe that we really did back in the day, that our ancestors did not say, you cannot claim this as your territory, but they opened their arms and welcomed us as individuals, as family members. And I think it's very interesting today to be in urban population where there are more than 40,000 Native Americans living in Portland, more than 380 different tribal affiliations are represented here. That's according to the Native American Youth and Family Center's database, according to our clientele that come in. So I think the interesting question is how do we live as an urban Indian population on the homelands of the Grand Ronde tribes? Tsleil-Waututh tribes are also part of this territory, the Chinook people, and honor all of those relationships coming together. It's an intersection. It's a beautiful intersection of Native culture, Native history. In the advocacy work that I do, I share that Native American history is American history. And each and every one of us should know that history because it's your history. Whether you identify as Native American or not, American history is Native American history. I would hope that each one of us honor that every day. In the Portland Youth and Elders Council, we give out these t-shirts and it says, "Got land" on the front. And on the back, it says, "Thank an Indian." Because we gave up much through colonization. But I'm so moved today, I'm at loss for words almost, that the celebration of our history is so beautiful. And it's the spiritual aspects of how we live as Indian people are aspects that I think everybody in this room holds and thinks about. And the way that you walk your life every day is on that transformational edge, thinking about, intentionally thinking about where you are, what you are doing, the way that we live our lives, climate justice, you know, changing aspects, all link back to this long history that gave us this privilege of where we are today. It's beautiful. And we have a responsibility. And if you would, every day, just stop and thank that history and where we come from and why we're able to do the things we do today. And I would hope, actually I've advocated with City Council and Metro, and this is Native Heritage Month in November, and we've been doing a lot of presentations, but I would hope that every day that we stop and thank our Creator and our ancestors. And if we think back far enough, that the land that we are doing business on, the land that we walk on today, is because of, you know, a lot of tragedy and a lot of oppression and a lot of things that could hold a people down, but recognize that it hasn't held us down. That we are beautiful people. I was overwhelmed by the fact that we have the ceremonies that we have, that we're true to our religion, that we can walk strong and be proud. And I have to acknowledge that I call my mom once a week or else she calls me and she says, "Aren't you glad I made you a little Indian baby?" And that's our private little togetherness, but I do thank her every day that I am Native American and that I have culture and I have traditions and I respect the land and I honor place and I honor the Grand Ronde people for letting us do business on their land. It has to be heartbreaking when the U.S. government came in and separated our peoples and put them on reservations. They put warring people, tribes that were at war, together on one reservation. Imagine the adversities that people had to face when they were under those conditions, taking away from their natural relationship with the environment, held up on a reservation with a warring tribe, and had to come together as one people. What kind of strength does that take? It takes tremendous strength. And to be resilient. And think of the heartaches that our people have been through. I've heard stories and I've been on a trek that has traveled across the nation, visiting each gravesite by a boarding school of young Native American people who have died from broken hearts because they were taken from their culture and taken from their families and put into a boarding school. You can seriously die from a broken heart. And there's so much sorrow and pain that has happened because of our land. And Creator gave us our sacred places, so at least my teachings were, that Creator gave us our sacred lands as a gift, and we care for them just like a relative. And so to be removed or restricted, or to even see the commercial abuse of our lands today, it's heartbreaking. And yet, we have to persevere and we have to move on. And we have to think about the future, seventh generation. And I'm just going to say that, invite all of us to think about climate justice. And as we experience global changes in our climate, think about traditional ways. I think that our resiliency will come from traditional values. We cared for our sacred places because they were a gift from Creator. And if each one of us, each and every one of you here today, in your actions, can think about the effects that we have driving our motor vehicles, where we get our water, just numerous activities, that the effect that it has on our future and our place. But I would ask each and every one of you to remember that you walk on the sacred homelands of the Grand Ronde, the Chinook people, the Kalapuya, many different bands of those tribes, and invite you to just treat Mother Earth gently and be thankful and grateful that we have this beautiful place to come together in as community. I am astounded by the beauty of this cathedral, and I'm so happy that all of you are here. Thank you.